Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. You join us on Sunday the 15th of August. It's about 8:30 as we record, and it's just a few hours since Celtic progressed in the League Cup round of 16 after beating Hearts 3-2 at Celtic Park. This was a bit of revenge for the opening day of the season, you could say. Odson Edouard opened the scoring after a fantastic pass from Kyogo and then James Forrest, respectively. They then went on to make it 2-0, with Stephen Welsh getting his first goal of the season. Looked pretty plain sailing at that point, but Hearts did get a goal back in the second half when Liam Boyce was brought down by Carroll Starfelt for a penalty. That made it 2-1. It was a bit edgy, but Celtic then restored a 2-goal lead with Kyogo scoring at Craig Gordon's near post. And then it was pretty much just a case of seeing the game out. Celtic did concede again in injury time, which made the scoreline look a lot closer than perhaps it should have been. But Tony, I'll come to you. I know you're still isolating over in Derry, so you're watching on the telly today, but what did you make of it? It was a very good first half, maybe not so much in the second half, but another very confident attacking performance from Ange's team.
I thought the first half was unbelievable. I thought it was just an absolute pleasure to watch. I don't think we gave Hearts a minute. They couldn't put a pass together. They were just clearing the lines at every opportunity. And I thought we could score 4 or 5 in the first half. The first goal was absolutely fantastic. The pass for Kyogo to Forrest, top drawer, and Forrest puts it in a plate for Edouard, and he gets his goal, which I was delighted for him. He got on the score sheet again. I think that's 2 in his last 3 games, and he seemed as delighted as the fans. And then just coming up to halftime, we get the other goal with Welsh. Again, it's quick play, I think, with Kyogo and Edouard. Edouard gets the assist and Welsh finishes it. Edouard had another really good chance. They should have made it 3. But the first half, after watching it, I thought this could finish whatever we want. Hearts switched it at halftime. They brought Haaland, and the player they brought on actually caused us a bit of problems. I thought Starfelt was really clumsy. I think he's had a bit of a poor start to his Celtic career. For being honest, he's had a few kind of silly mistakes. That was another one. It's a stonewall penalty. Boy scores. And then after that, I think Starfelt gave the ball away. He's obviously, his confidence had been dented a bit. But we settled. And again, a great ball by Tom Rogic, I thought was absolutely outstanding. To Kyogo, another good finish. I don't think Gordon covers himself in glory, to be honest. It's his front post, and I think it was poor kicking that led to us getting the ball in the first place. So, aye, that was one for other people wanted to bring him back. But no, I was happy overall. I mean, I can't believe the game finished 3-2. The attack, for me, I think we can take goals off any team. I've got absolutely no doubt about it. But in the other kind of, the flip side, I suppose, is I think many teams will take goals off us because the defence isn't good enough. I thought Ralston had a good game. I thought Taylor was okay. I thought that, I mean, the worst of the back four or back five, if you include Hart, would have been Starfelt, and he's a clever broker. Brought in to shore it up. I think we still need another centre-half. I think we still need a right-back and a left-back. Now, this time last week, Postecoglou says I'm expecting 2 or 3 then the next week. We're a week down the line and nobody's come in. I think he's getting let down really badly by the board, and it's frustrating, and it just seems so silly and so negligent, because Postecoglou's proven he's got a very good philosophy regarding football. He's shown that the players are buying into it. This team you're seeing the new is nothing like Lennon's team last year. It's full of energy, it's full of pressing, it's cohesive. It's no this lackluster, clueless, unhappy football. It's fun, it's exciting, the fans are well behind it, the players are behind it. So why the fuck are we not signing the players this guy wants? I mean, and I know people always harp on it takes time, but we've known for ages these players need to come in. He must be getting frustrated, and I do feel sorry for him, because there's a part of me that think that the feel-good factor might go on Wednesday, because as much as I think we can score into Alkmaar, they're going to be a step above what we've played so far, and they'll probably score into us. And I think that's when calm heads will be required if we don't get the result we're after on Wednesday. Calm heads in terms of, obviously, we should still stick behind the manager and his plan. But I think, obviously, any irritation or unhappiness should be aimed at the board who are severely letting the guy down. And I can't see why. There's no reason we shouldn't have a right-back in Bino or a left-back in another centre-half. There's absolutely no reason we shouldn't be speculating here to accumulate, because the Europa League brings good money. I know the conference actually brings a decent amount. I don't think there's much of a difference. You still want to be in the Europa League because it's a better standard of competition. But no, overall, I was happy with the attack. And I loved watching it. I thought it was brilliant. Kyogo, I mean, people say about, oh, guys need time to settle in. He's came to this country, had to isolate for 10 days, doesn't speak the language, and he's got 5 goals and 5 appearances. So he is the definition of hitting the ground running. He's been super. And he's the kind of player where you just can't wait to watch more of him. Rogic, he's chipped in with quite a few assists, and he got a goal against was it Jablonek or Dundee he scored against? I can't Dundee. He looked like his old self today. The ball was just glued to his feet, and again, that shows you what a kind of competent manager can do. So, it's early days for Ange, but it's incredible how much the way the team play has changed, and I think any Celtic fan you speak to is well behind the manager, and enjoying watching it, but we've got a really critical couple of weeks coming up, I feel. And you look at that team, I mean, how many are Ange signings today? Hart, Starfelt, Kyogo, anybody else has started? No, I don't think so. So he's still not got his full stamp on it. He's just obviously implementing his own methods. So defence still needs, I'm not saying anything that people don't already know, but defence desperately needs a bit of surgery ASAP.
Aye, definitely, Danny. I know Ange sort of mentioned in his post-match that he's sort of having to rely on the same core of players just because of how limited the squad is at the moment. What did you make of today's game? I think Edward was the only change from Thursday night. He came in for Ryan Christie and had a great first half, especially with his goal and his assist. But aye, what did you make of Celtic's performance in general?
Thought it was the most one-sided 3-2 game I'd ever seen in my life. The last 4 Celtic games you've been watching Celtic, it seems to be how many Celtic want to score. I'm so delighted. The first 2 goals really pleased me for a number of reasons. The first one was, we've scored some really good goals lately, but that type of breakaway where it's kind of 1-2 touch, quick passing, and an always kind of similar goal Kyogo's last week, but his first goal, but the pass was just brilliant, and Forrest does really well to get the heat up and actually see Edward coming, and it's a lovely finish and an empty net, and it was good to see Edward score because I was quite critical of him in the last episode, and Tony will testify to that. He's been kind of hoping Edward kind of turns it on and decides to stay, and I was kind of on the fence about it. Obviously, if Edward's going to be the player that we know he can be, then obviously you want him to stay, but he's been pish for a while. But today there was a wee bit of a spark there. I thought he's... And the thing that really frustrates me about Edward is we all know how good he is, and even against Michelin, where he patently couldn't be arsed, every time he actually got the ball, things happened. So he's clearly still an important player for us, if he's up for it. And the day he looked up for it, I thought he was really good. The diving thing was pretty poor. I was disappointed in him in that. I think 2 seasons ago, he would have just swung the left foot at that, put the ball in the top corner. But I was disappointed at that. But as a performance, it's getting better and better. I think there are, because of the energy that the players give in and what they put in and the effort, they do tend to switch off for 5-10 minutes in games, and we seem to get punished. Jablonek the other night had a couple of chances in like a short space of time, but they do seem to finish well. And I know we conceded a goal in the 91st minute today, but there was only really one team that looked like scoring, and it was the Hearts. So I think you can just be pretty pleased, Dan, but you know, we're saying, Tony's already said it, but you're just saying the same thing. Gee, Ange, what he wants. And, you know, apparently that Jan Kuto boy was up on Thursday night as a guest of the club, and it's 3 days later and he's still no sign for Celtic. How's he coming up to Celtic Park without any agreement, surely? If he's up, he's ready to sign it. It's bonkers. And if they're gambling on getting by Alkmaar before spending or having to wait till Edward, then it's criminal. And it's an unnecessary gamble because look at how quickly momentum changes in football. Like a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, sorry, we did a space on Twitter and it was just people, mainly me and you, darn drunk, but it was people saying how it's got to be a long season, and then you fast forward like 11 days there at the Champions League. We've won a couple of games in a row and fans are absolutely buzzing, and then we keep buying up. But if the board don't act accordingly and things go south, we go out of Europa League and we get beat at Ibrox, then we're back to square one again. So Celtic could be so fucking good under Postecoglou if they back him. What he's done with the team that are there, like players last year, Rogic, Ralston, Taylor. Now I'm a fan of Taylor, as everybody knows, but his final ball is very, very poor. And you can get away with that at Kilmarnock when you're really only expected to get up and down the wing and help out. Like, his job is to give the ball to Jordan Jones and get out of the way, I think. His final ball is poor, but he's a great defender. And he could have stopped the cross for the penalty the day for Hearts, but generally speaking, he's a very good defender. But we need help there. And so look at the difference Ange's made with all these players. You need to give him new ones. You know what I mean? Because you're only going to get a tune out of them for so long. And Rogic looks like a completely different player. It's an absolute joy watching Rogic at the minute. Flex, like last season, Rogic looked... He didn't look overweight. He looked slow. He looked rusty. Hardly contributed. Any time he came on, it kind of got in the way all the time, and the way he's knocking the ball about the new, it's just brought McGregor was outstanding again today as well. So the future could be so good, and the team's playing really well at the minute, and you all want to be positive, because this is it, Dan. This is what we said in March. We need something to get behind. Well, we've got something that we're all behind, so it could be so good, but it's up to the board. They need to back them, and it's so important because, as I keep saying, it could be so fucking good.
I definitely, like we spoke a few weeks ago after that Mitchell and Sitting Leg, saying, oh, that's three games now and we've no won. But then, as you speak of it, like the signs were there, fans were happy with seeing how the team were playing, and now we're four wins in a row, and there is a lot of positivity around the club. And as you say, it's like everybody thought, oh, we're going to sell and get behind a guy like Eddie Howe, that. But all we needed was an actual football manager who has a philosophy, who sticks to his beliefs, who gives you a reason to believe in his team. And that's exactly what Ange's done. Like I mentioned on the last episode, you don't want to get too carried away because we've only won a few games and bigger tests are still to come this month, never mind the rest of the season. But the fact is, the team has such an identity now. Like, I thought the second goal was just, it sort of typified everything that this Ange team's about. The awareness of Kyogo and Edward to get out there and take that corner kick quickly. And then the Welsh already been there. There's just such a tempo about them. And you see that all the time, from how quickly Joe Hart gets the goal kicks going, from throw-ins to free kicks. And corners, like I say, like the team is just always on the move. And like there's a lot of teams in the league that just won't be able to handle it. Like, you'll just tire them out if you continue to play at that tempo. And you're right to mention, of course, it's not going to be able to be kept up for 90 minutes a game, every game, because you will have times when you just naturally dip because it is such a high-intensity sort of system we're playing. But I just thought today we were fantastic, and Starfelt, I still get time to give him a bit of mere benefit of the doubt, because to be completely honest with you, there's not much behind him in terms of competition at the moment, so I think you just need to hope it is a bit of rustiness, because I know he has been caught down the wrong side a few times, but like the Mary's in the team, you'd like to think he will just get better, and you've got to hope for that. But I mean, I think you're completely right with Callum McGregor. I thought he was fantastic again today. He's been brilliant for Celtic in the past, but he's just absolutely grown in stature this season. I know he had a poor season by his own standards last season, but just taking on that captaincy seems to have revitalised him, and getting instructions from Ange has obviously helped him as well. Tom Rogic as well, another person who, if you want to be completely honest, probably for 2-3 years, hasn't he, been at the top of his game, that got him that 5-year deal that he got a good few years ago. But he's just everything. People will say, oh, he's Ange's player, Ange knows him and that, but it's much more than that. He's just such a top-quality player. I always speak about how if you have a Celtic player that's got the ball in a tight space, who do you want it to? And it's always Tom Rogic. Like, the ball just seems to be attached to his feet at times. And I thought, I mentioned earlier, I thought Forrest pass for the first goal was brilliant, but for me, that's my only sort of negative at the moment. Apart from the defence, I feel like you get much more from a badder out in the right, and I know Ange says it was a slight injury that he was out with, so I'm just hoping he's back sooner rather than later. Like, I think Luke Forrest has already provided a few assisted goals this season, so he's obviously effective enough in it, but I just feel that going forward, like having a badder back out in the right is like where you're going to see the best in this team. One thing I just wanted to pick up on, Tony, I know we spoke about it the other day as well, but it's a game that we've won, so you feel a bit freer today, but I thought John Beaton was fucking terrible today. I thought, like, not even talking about the Edward dive or anything, but I thought the amount of times he let Hearts away with things, and he was just missing blatant fouls on Celtic players, was ridiculous. Like, Kyogo was decked off the ball about 5-6 times by Hearts players before we got any sort of foul or like Hearts players getting spoke to about it. It was ridiculous. Like, what did you make of John Beaton today?
He's a fucking prick. He's useless. But he's been useless for years. And again, I always like to say it, no one for big conspiracies, but I remember when Rangers done it with Colum and they basically came out and says, we don't want this guy refereeing our games because he's rubbish, and they didn't get him for 6 months. What's the harm at somebody at Celtic coming out and saying, look, this guy's fucking utterly ridiculously poor. Can we have 6 months without him refereeing our games? Because, I mean, as you say, Kyogo got thrown to the deck a few times, and then I think somebody worked it out. I think it was the linesman eventually seen it. But it's just a bad referee. I mean, it's just really poor. I mean, I wouldn't be against the club coming out and say, look, nothing personal, he's just at a really, really poor standard, and we would rather he didn't referee your games, and that's it. So I thought he was really poor, but the refs usually are. But luckily for us, if we keep playing this style of football and improve our defence, the referees won't matter a fuck. So I thought you would bring him up. I just think he's a really poor ref. I think the standard of refereeing in Scotland's embarrassing, to be totally honest. I'm sure Danny, I take it you would agree that John Beaton is hopeless.
I thought he had a really poor game today. I think Beaton always has poor games when he refs Celtic, but today I thought it was really bad. As Dan said, Kyogo was hit, I think it was 3 or 4 times just in the first half, and Hearts had deliberately targeted him, and it was actually the one that was probably least a foul that he booked. He actually gave a foul and booked Halkett for. No consistency in his decisions. Edwards booking, he got that spot on, that was a dive. But then he should have booked Ginelli at the start of the second half when he'd done the exact same thing. No consistency, one rule for them, but the time is, you need to call it out when you're winning. But then people turn around and say, oh, quadruple, treble, 9 in a row, how can the refs be cheating you? It's some sort of conspiracy and you keep winning. But, you know, fuck them, it's facts. And the way that we've been refed so far this season, like even last week when we won 6-0, like Dundee should have been down to about 8 men the way they carried on. And teams certainly are going to be like, Kyogo's going to get targeted every week. When he goes to Ibrox in 2 weeks, he's going to get kicked off the park. And we need a strong referee that will turn around and call it out and give fouls against teams for it. But you know what it's like with us. And it just taps back to when Hearts beat us and Madden had a really bad game. We had a legitimately good goal that didn't stand, and then Andy Halliday got away with an assault on Carl McGregor, and people are coming out and saying, let's just sort ourselves out first before we moan at them. And then it's the same people say, oh, but we're winning, why would we want to moan at the refs? And that's how they get away with it, because they perceive Celtic to be soft. And I was disappointed again, like, nobody backed Kyogo up. We had to take Halliday out of his cell to get any sort of retribution, and he has got plenty to dig about him, Kyogo, which is good to see. But certainly, we either need to sign somebody that's just going to be a walking yellow card every week to back him up, or the rest of the team need to grow a set and start defending their teammate on the park, because the treatment he's got in the first few weeks has been shambolic.
Aye, I definitely agree with that. I think it's just, like, nobody's calling a conspiracy here. It's just fucking terrible refereeing, and we just happen to see it happen to Celtic more than we do any other team. Andy, you've just joined us. We've been there, but what we thought of the game, you were at the game as well. What was your thoughts on it?
I think there's a lot of, again, just more positives to take for the game. Just obviously, what we've been going on about the last couple. Celtic have been improving and going forward. We do look a massive threat. We will score a lot of goals, but it's unfortunate that we're conceding. I think when he used posted the possession stats, I don't know if you already spoke about it, it was fucking silly, and Hank Hart's had like 2 attempts and scored them both, and it's something that we know we need defenders, we know we need signings, and it really should be highlighting them. The board members should have been sat there watching that game saying that we need this sorted now, particularly with a massive, massive game coming up. But the game itself, I thought something that I wanted to pick up on was Greg Taylor, and I've been hammering that boy for weeks, to be fair, but see the last couple of games, he's massively, massively impressed me with the way he's applied himself and the way he's been deployed in that team by Ange, and I think that it's testament to just how good a manager he is and sort of what he's doing and what he's building. A guy like Greg Taylor, who is now looking like a football player, to say, like the way he sort of moves into the middle of the park, he's doing it really well. But Kyogo, he's a spot on. It's going to happen multiple times this season where teams target him and teams boot him, and it's good to see that he's no shying away from that, and it's no putting him in the SHL that won't So, I mean, that's not going to dampen his game. If anything, it looked to motivate him. And he was obviously cheering on with the crowd and stuff like that, which is, I was just buzzing. I just love watching a guy play. He's infectious. Just, you buzz off him. And I think that we will many times this season. He's going to score a lot of big goals for us, that boy. He's just an absolute diamond of a player. But I don't know. I really enjoyed the first half. I just really enjoy watching Angie's teams play football, to be fair. Tom Rogic looks to be the Tom Rogic of old, which is something that I was sceptical we would see again, because for the longest time he was struggling with fitness and he had a lot of problems. And like I say, it was something we didn't know we would see again if Rogic could get back to that. And he really does look to have the dancing feet again. His close control's fucking through the roof. It's scary at times, and the way he can just sort of maneuver himself for being such a big guy. I know it's one of the things, like with him and your team, you know, he's always got that in him just to unlock a defence, or else just to shimmy to the side and pat one and tap in. So I do think he's going to be a massive player for us. Just I'm buzzing to see Ange just getting a tune at so many players and getting so many big performances. I just don't understand how anybody can be watching this with the power to make the improvements and give them and the players that he wants, and they're taking their time out of it. Like, go and get it done. Like, give this guy the tools. It's just I'm not really looking forward to sort of more games under hand, watching us play football, and hopefully we beat AZ, and then it's European football, it's on the horizon for us again. And I'm looking forward to see what Ange will do in European competition, because I think a lot of the games will, it's kamikaze football at times, I think, but the way we'll play and the way he'll want us to play will really suit for teams in Europe out of an outmatched standard that either on paper probably you would fancy them be favourites given how bad their fucking backline is right now. But I think he's going to fancy it because he knows the game will be more open. It's not going to be that sort of Hearts football with 10 men behind the ball and just put you off the park. I'm looking forward to seeing that team with a good few more games under about playing in Europe. So I was buzzing with the game today. Unfortunate we're conceding goals still, been hoping. I just need to hope and pray, probably yourselves, that gets sorted, because the backline's just not good enough. And there's a lot more to come for this team this season. I think there's so much promise in it.
Aye, definitely. Danny, I'll come to you. The draw for the quarterfinals was made in Celtic. Well, the first name out of the hat, and we're drawn at home to Championship side Raith Rovers. We have been disrespectful to Raith Rovers. It's a great opportunity for Ange to take Celtic to Hampden for his first time under his managerial tenure.
Aye, it's a good draw. It's League Cup, no often the most cherished trophy at the start of the season, but it's the first one you can win, and if you've got a new manager in, it's going to be his first chance to win silverware. So, and it's kind of the same with Rodgers' first season, you know, we got Alloa at home in the quarterfinals. So it's just, you know, no, it's not easy, because, you know, the Raith, they beat Aberdeen the day, and Aberdeen have started the season well, so be a tough game. They'll get the proper respect that they deserve, but it's a good draw to get into the semi-final, closer to winning a trophy, and it's as good a draw as we could have got. And know that you'd want to look beyond the quarters, but you get that wee thing that it beat Raith at home, which should be doable considering how we've been playing at home recently. And then you think, right, big Angie's at Hampden. Hopefully by that time, it's late October, early November, team will be, you know, more players will be brought in, hopefully, we say God willing, and the team will be flying by that point. Again, God willing, you get a national semi-final, first chance of a trophy. So it's a good draw in the sense that it doesn't need to go to Hibs or Ibrox or like Tannadice or something during the week. It's a good draw at home against Raith, and you win, you get a semi-final. But darn, you fancied getting somebody else, did you know?
I think I just got a bit carried away at the game and just thought I wanted Rangers as much as I could at that time, just because I think from watching them the last few weeks, they're fragile, and I think that I know I've got them obviously on the 29th already, but I just feel like I just always want to be the one that ends their season. So ending their participation in every competition is the way I want it. And look, I know they get a home draw against Livingston, so it's quite likely that they'll get through that if it's in like the first day of the season against Livingston. But I think it's a great opportunity. I mentioned it last week as well. It was great for guys like Dyla and Rodgers, obviously, as you say, like, to get the League Cup. Just gives you that sort of, I don't think Ange really needs any more favour with the fans at the moment, but it just gives you that bit of like actual success. So it's like you can actually see that what you're working towards is bringing rewards like cups. And look, Celtic, as much as Ange as well, like he will have to deliver trophies or else it won't matter a fuck. Tony, you were the opposite for me. You were happy with Raith Rovers at home, just as simple a tie as you could have hoped for from that draw?
Absolutely, aye. It's another home tie. It's another chance for the club to fleece us and get more money that they won't reinvest. But no, I think for me, at this stage, this team's still got a long way to go. I don't know when the next round is. I'm assuming it's in September. But no, I'm happy with Raith Rovers. It's a game we should be winning really comfortably. We might get a chance to kind of rotate the squad, which will probably be required because we're playing kind of really energetic, fast-paced football than us. So I was happy with the draw. And it should really present a chance for Ange to get to Hampden, and we'll see how that goes. I think we've already spoken about the fact that the first trophy of the season is very important. We won it 4 years in a row, and then we lost it last season without a fight and a kind of pathetic attempt. So I think we've got to have our eyes set to try and win that trophy and then build upon it. But that's obviously a long way away. We can part the League Cup for now, and it's all eyes on Wednesday, and I think that promises to be a really hard task, but one that that we should be looking forward to. We'll learn from it regardless what happens. It's another opportunity to build momentum. If we go against AZ and get a really positive result, the fans become even more behind Ange and become even more enthusiastic and happy and determined. If you don't get the result you want, it goes back to sack the board, which would be fair enough. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday, but I'm a wee bit pessimistic, if I'm being honest. I don't know about you three, but I have got worries about the defending aspect.
Look, I think it's going to be a tough game. We'll just come on it now. It's the team that finished third in the Eredivisie last season, and I don't know, it's sort of, Danny, I'll come with you first on it. On paper, it looks a tough tie, right? And I'm not going to come out and say, oh, look, I fully expect Celtic to win. It's obviously going to be a tricky tie. But if you look at AZ Alkmaar there, no, without their troubles, they've sold quite a few players. And I believe their captain's sort of trying to force a move and might not play as well. And then they started the league campaign yesterday to a shock defeat. They lost 1-0. So, no, everything's rosy in Alkmaar at the moment. And I think we are having a bit more competitive football play, and that should benefit us, you'd think. And a full capacity Celtic Park as well should benefit us. And I know there's no away goals or anything to worry about on Wednesday, but I think we should be looking to take possibly like a two-goal lead over there if we can. I think that would set us up quite nicely.
Fuck's sake, you're talking about Tony thinking pessimistic the defence and you're talking about two goal leads. I'm kind of in the middle with you two. We should be sharper than Alkmaar, but then at the same time, we've played so many games in a short space of time, we might actually go the opposite way. Alkmaar have only played the one competitive game and they did lose it. They've had their problems. They've sold Boadu, who left, I think he went to Monaco. Coop Miners is trying to force a move. So they don't come in it without their trouble, but you would just suspect that if, like Tony said, if we are slack at the back, they'll be good enough to punish it. I said a couple of weeks ago, I think this tie will come too soon for us. I still think that. I'm a wee bit more optimistic on it than I was last week. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's important that the fans don't throw the toys out of the pram if we don't win it, or we get beaten Thursday. We know we need defenders, we know we need signings, but you need to stick with Ange, you know. But it'll be tough. I think Celtic will win on Thursday, but I think they'll win narrowly, and it leaves a tie in the balance.
Danny, just make sure and tune in on Wednesday, because that's when the game is.
Sorry, I've got a ticket.
Sorry, just I was going to say, so you don't miss it.
I'm going as well, so I know I'll turn up on Thursday. I think it's back to COVID times, no fans. No, I think they'll win on Wednesday, but it will be narrow and it will go there. And then you're kind of, it's in the hands of God over there with their crowd, because I don't think we'll get any away support. But it'll be tough, but it's a good test. It'll probably be a good test, but then, just as I've said, if we are slack, they'll punish us. If there's any feeling in amongst the Celtic team that I don't fancy, then we could punish them as well the way we're playing. And hopefully we'll get Christie back, hopefully Abada will be back, and we can have a right good go at them. But it'll be kamikaze, as it has been so far under Ange, so it'll not be for the faint-hearted. But looking forward to it, I'm just looking forward to the next Celtic game. At this current moment, it seems to be going so well that I keep saying, right, Wednesday next game. So it is Wednesday, and I think we'll probably sneak it, but it could be a classic.
Andy, I'll come to you. It's European opposition, obviously. no disrespect to Jablonec, but it's quite a step up from them. And obviously Dundee and Hearts are two promoted teams, so yet again it's going to be a massive step up from the opposition we've been getting these wins against. How do you see Thursday? So it's the Danny's got me gone Thursday now as well. How do you see Wednesday going?
I think, as I said, it's going to be a really difficult tie. Realistically, they're going to be one of the a level above sort of the opposition that we've faced, and then Jablonec and sort of Hearts and Dundee recently. So aye, difficult game. I think, listen, I've got no doubts in my mind we can score goals. As has been mentioned a million times, the worry is at the back, that's the thing. So we're going to need to see just how we can keep a clean sheet. If we do that, then you really do fancy us to score goals. I think we're going to concede. I don't really see any way that we don't. We're not good enough back at the minute. But I actually do think we're going to win the game. Particularly, something's been telling me 3-1 all week, and then the day just sort of convinced me of that, to be honest with you. I'm convinced that we win the game at home. I do think we're, with the crowd being in, and I think that'll play a factor for us particularly, and it'll probably push us on to get the goals that we need. Taking a 3-1 out there, I don't know, do you ever really fancy yourself doing anything away from home, no matter what the lead is? I think that we've just got to sort of see where we're at. As signings should have been made, and they should have been in a different position than we are the now, but we're not, so just got to carry on and take it as it is. But I fancy it at home. God knows about the away tie, basically, but I do fancy us to win the home game.
I don't know, it's sort of weird with the way this team plays. Like, I don't even know if the home tie is of that much more importance, because I think we're sort of set up to play the same way away from home. Tony, how do you actually see the game going? I know you gave us a bit of a preview, but you've been the most vocal about signings not being in your ears on this episode. But do you think that will ultimately cost us on Wednesday, or do you think we will have enough to get at least take a lead over to Holland on the following week?
I mean, don't get me wrong, if we take our chances, I mean, I fully expect us to score a couple. I just expect us to concede a few as well. I think we'll draw two each, or potentially even three each. I think the one thing that will be I can expect on Wednesday will be goals. It's just the way the system is now, and I just don't think we'll get the right players for it to work. But I could be wrong. We could get lucky. They could miss their chances. We could take ours, and we could take a 3-0 lead there. But that's just, these ties are never that simple. I think it'll probably be, again, it'll be a good test. But it's really, well, I heard Christie's a kind of doubt, a Abada will be in contention. So I'd be looking at playing Edward, Kyogo, Abada. Then I would play Rogic, Turnbull and McGregor again in the same defence with Hart. So there's goals all over the team. I mean, you've got the top six would have goals in them, or the forward six, the midfield and the attack. So I think we'll need to score a lot of goals, and I just think we'll concede goals as well. I still think we're a wee bit sloppy at times. Like even the Jablonec, we have kind of double save. One of them, I think, we lose three headers in a row. I mean, you just can't do that at this level. It will get punished. And I don't want to sound too negative, because for all I know, we could sign a right back tomorrow and he just gives right in. But I think we've left it too late, and it's just history repeating itself. And it's infuriating, because I feel as though we're gambling the Europa League the same way we gambled the Champions League, whereby if we'd have got the players in time, we would have beat Midtjylland easily. And we could maybe give PSG a game, don't get me wrong. I think they would have beat us over the two legs. Because you look at us now, and we're starting to put a bit of a team together. I don't know. I find it just so baffling, the fact that this board, they're not jumping through hoops to get Postecoglou exactly the players he wants in time for the games that he needs to win. It's just fucking so stupid. So I think we can win, but in the same token, I think no result would surprise me, apart from 0-0. So I'm looking forward to the game. I'll be travelling back during it. I'll be in the boat, I think, just as the game's ending. So I'll still be watching on my phone, and I'll be praying for a positive result.
Hopefully we'll be speaking to you on the high seas after a high watching Celtic. Oh, I think that might bring us to an end tonight. But I'll just say, Tony, I know you sort of gave us a few there. What is your final prediction? I know you've said the result would surprise you, but give us a score prediction.
2-2.
Andy, what are you going for?
I said I'll go for 3-1. Kyle will go in the score sheet again.
And Danny, what have you went for?
I think it'll be 2-1. I think Keogh will score and Abada will score, but we'll give away a right daft silly goal later on.
I'm going to stick to my convictions and say that Celtic will take a 2-goal lead over Holland, but I think it'll be an absolute thriller, and I think Celtic will win 4-2. I think, as a few users say, I think if we go forward, we'll definitely create chances. If we take them, we'll score quite a few, but I don't know, it's just if Altmar are any sort of decent pedigree team, then they probably will get a few against us, and it could be a tricky night. But I'm going to be optimistic and say Celtic will take a 4-2 win over the second leg, and hopefully they'll be able to see that out. But no, that's us for this Sunday night. It's been another relatively positive episode. Hopefully Celtic will make a few signings over the next few days to give us more optimism going into Wednesday night. And aye, then we'll be back after Wednesday's game with hopefully another positive review of a good European Celtic night. But aye, big thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring the podcast as always. If you would like to help out the podcast, go to manscaped.com and use the discount code TRIM4TIMS. That's TRIM and a number 4TIM, and that'll get you 20% off all products and free shipping. So aye, that helps us out, and Manscaped really is the industry leader for below the waist grooming. So aye, thanks very much for anybody that's continuing to do that or has done it recently. And aye, we will speak to you at some point during the week, I'm sure. Thanks for listening. Cheers.
Subscribe to YouTube, 4TIMS and a podcast on YouTube. Please subscribe. Thank you.
I got my eyes on you, and you post the car blue.
I want your whole love and emotion endlessly.
We can't get over you, and you post the car blue.
I want your whole love and emotion endlessly.
Cause you're a fiend and you know it.
Angie,
you're better than Eddie Howe to me.
Angie,
all the history, you know it.
Angie,
you're saying Furu has you. Here we go, one on a roll.
Angie, babe.
Here we go, one on a roll.